During that time, some people got sleepy. One fella fell down and he lost his life. Paul just went back over and restored it to him. I don't see if you fall down tonight, I might be able to restore yours, but at any rate, it's the same God here or the same prophet here or not. So, I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you believe that's true? All right, I'm glad to be here tonight, and I just hope that by the help of the Lord that we can press in tonight, if it's His will, that we can talk about some things that's on my heart. And the only reason I exhort you in this manner is because I don't want to start and get in the middle of a revelation and have to quit. And I know that it's a little hard for you. I know that, you know, coming to church and sitting in the church and listening to the message is the hardest thing that you ever done. How many of you know that you have to endure the doctrine of Jesus Christ? How many of you know that's the Bible? The last days they won't endure sound doctrine. Did you know it's easier to work on a job? It's easier to do anything in the world than to sit in church and listen to the gospel, though you're absolutely doing nothing but just sitting back there. Now you can go home and sit for hours and hours and hours upon hours, and you won't be worried. But the reason in the church is different is because Satan is pressing you. The Bible said we press our way into the kingdom of God, and the very minute that you start trying to listen to the word, you'll find thoughts begin to press you. A man lives within the environment of his own thinking. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You might come to church with a real determined made up mind, but just as quick as you start listening to the word, Satan will begin to press you, and he'll tell you about suffering, he'll tell you about the bed, and he'll tell you about your problems at home, and he'll tell you about your wife, and tell you about your neighbor, and tell you about old brother and old sister so-and-so, and he'll continually talk to you the whole time that you're trying to press him, because if he can keep your thoughts occupied continually while the preacher's preaching, he'll make you miserable the whole time that you're there, and your spirit will never be surrendered to the spirit that's speaking through the minister, that is to Christ. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit, and your spirit will never be surrendered to his spirit, and you'll never get that inspiration and that blessing. But I tell you what you can do, and I know it because I've done it. You can get into the spirit of God, and when you get into the spirit of God, you can talk for 5 solid hours about spiritual revelation, and it looks like it's gone just like that. Now, you might say, Brother Parker, are you speaking from experience? I've talked all night long, numbers of times, until the sun came up or until the daybreak, and it seemed as though it was just an hour or so. Because we got into the mind of Jesus Christ. You say, did anybody listen? I've had men to listen all night long and hardly move. God knows that's the truth. I've got to answer for it in the judgment. Now, they would talk to me when we first start talking that night. But when the mind of Jesus Christ came in and revelation began to speak, I've seen them sit all night long and wouldn't want to break into that thought at all. And I'd stop in the maybe way up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, be so weary I couldn't hardly hold my head up. And they'd say, well, come on, tell me what happened. In other words, they were so hungry and drawing the revelation of Jesus Christ that they just didn't want to stop. And that's the same way it is with me. I know how they feel, Brother Bobby, because when I get by myself, I've stayed on my knees as high as 9 solid hours. I've been on my knees talking with God. I've sat down in a chair somewhere and just sat there maybe for 5 solid hours when the mind of Jesus Christ began to talk to me because I just couldn't move. I couldn't move. I mean, it's something about it. I didn't want to move. Like King Solomon, the Bible said that his servant was satisfied just to sit around his feet and listen to the wisdom of God that came through his lips. Well, I'm the same way. I'm satisfied to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and just listen to the mind of God as it speaks through Jesus Christ. I'm just contented to do it. There's something about it that makes me contented. So then, I say all these things to get you to try to press in. See that we can talk about the Lord Jesus and that you might understand. Now, I know that the prophet has gone off the scene and I guess I miss him as much as anybody. Because I did not get to be in his last services. I hardly ever got to be in one of the prophet's services. Maybe two or three the whole time he was here on earth. But I tell you one thing, I don't get to listen to his tapes like others, but I do enjoy them when I do get to listen at them. But there's one thing that I do know, that God has smitten every Messiah when he finished with him. And Brother Branham, being a type of Moses, God smote him and took him away. But Moses was taken away just before the children of Israel went into the Canaan land. Moses never took them into the Canaan land. He gave them the law that they needed to withstand their enemies and the power that they needed to withstand their enemies. But and even those spies had already gone over to the Canaan land, and today we've got men that's already gone over, Brother Bobby. They've already crossed the boundaries of world, got in the mind of Jesus Christ, and they come back with a report from heaven. I preached it on tape here a few nights ago, how the rocket went up and how they give the reports back and so forth. We see it in the things right here. But now, these men have gone off into the Canaan land and they've come back with revelation and they say, oh, how beautiful the fruit of that land is. Oh, how wonderful it is. I know some of them, I've broken in a little bit, they come back talking about the giants and the opposition and they've discouraged the hearts of God's people. But the Bible says those people will be cut off and they will not go into the Canaan land. But God had Joshua and he had Caleb and they encouraged the hearts of the people. So I want to be like them, and tonight I stand here to encourage the hearts of people to tell you that we're well able to take the land. And I am thankful tonight that even though the prophet has gone off of the scene, that God still is ready to lead us right on into the Canaan land. And remember this one thing, that Moses took them as far as Jordan, but he stopped. He did not take them over Jordan, and Jordan being a symbol of death, because it runs a serpentine course. It's a national boundary line. In case you don't know it, God didn't just choose it random. He chose it because on the map it's a national boundary line that separates Canaan and separates the wilderness or Egypt, and it runs a serpentine course and it runs right on down until it empties into the Dead Sea, which means it's a type of death, and it goes down and empties into what is a type of hell, where nothing can live, the Dead Sea, which one time was the site of Sodom and Gomorrah, still over in Jerusalem right now. But God sending fire down from out of heaven destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's nothing left except what they call the Dead Sea. And so then, when they went across Jordan, it represented death. When Jesus came to be baptized, he came and stood in Jordan. And if you can get this thought tonight, you can understand what I mean. He came and he stood there in the river of Jordan, and he was baptized of John because Jordan represented death. And you remember the prophet Elisha looking down through the telescope of time, telling him Naaman to go dip in the river Jordan. Then you remember how that he was cleansed. But Naaman at first did not want to obey the prophet. Now waters represent people, we know that. Now then, if waters represent people, that means the river Jordan represents the church of today. And that church is the one that's killed all the day long for his sake. It's muddy because the world throws mud at it continually, and God lets the mud come to hide that virtue that's in the waters from the eyes of the wise and prudent, to keep them away from those waters, that they might do as Naaman wanted to do, go down to the Damascus church or down to the Bethar church, where the waters have no reproach and where they can go on with their business and use their religion as a prestige. But the difference is that the prophet, having a spiritual insight, looked way down through the telescope of time, and he saw that Jesus, when Jesus comes, Jesus would not go to the river of Damascus, and Jesus would not go to the rivers of Afar, but he knew that the virtue was in the river of Jordan by the foreknowledge of Jesus Christ, and he saw Jesus coming to the river of Jordan and standing in those waters. And so it is today, that there's no healing in the Baptist and the Methodist church, but the healing, Brother Bobby, is in the little holiness group of people. It's in the elect body, because God has ordained for it to be like that. Now then, I'm thankful tonight that even though Brother Branham brought us a long ways, Christ within him, yet when Moses stopped, after he had brought them through the desert, it looked like that God had taken them out of Egypt, away from the natural things of the world, and he brought them right out in the middle of a wilderness and left them there to die. And that's just about the way some of the brethren feel right now. I see them and they say, well, what are we going to do? God's brought us out here, right here in the wilderness, so to speak, and left us to die. Now, if you don't understand what I mean when I say wilderness, remember, in the wilderness was where the serpents bit the people. Wilderness, God likens his people to trees. Now, if we are trees of righteousness, fruit trees, then that means that those people that are called brute beasts out yonder are trees that do not bear fruit, but they're trees that serpents can crawl around, demon spirits. I remember when I was a little boy, we lived down on a farm and had a lot of land with it, and my granddaddy would take his gun, and if we ever saw a big snake laying up in a tree, he'd shoot him, and we saw some real big ones. I'd see him take his gun and shoot him right out of the tree. And when you're in this wilderness, or that is among the brute beasts of this world, there are serpents laying around in the trees. There's evil spirits ready to strike at you. There's vines that's ready to wrap themselves around you to take the very life out of your body. You remember how that God, back there when he drove Adam out of the garden, that the first thing Adam encountered was the briars. He encountered the suffering because he was doing it for his wife to show Jesus Christ, the second Adam, coming in among the thorns of evil spirits to labor to bring forth the bread of life for his spiritual bride. We're in the wilderness now. I know that we're in the wilderness as far as the redemption of this outer man. And God has taken the prophet Moses, so to speak, off of the scene, the prophet child of our age. But he did not take away the pillar of fire. He let that same Holy Spirit that is guiding them all the way down into the wilderness, and he's left it here to take us right on across Jordan and right into the Canaan land. After God smote Moses, then Joshua was raised up, and he went right on with the thing that God had given Moses. It was the very same thing. I don't know whether you can see this or not, but remember, Brother Branham came with the word of thus saith the Lord. Moses gave them a natural word that could be turned into spirit. Jesus gave his people a natural word, but he said it's spirit and it's life if you can turn it into spirit. And so it was that when he went away, that the Holy Spirit came back in the office of Joshua, and that spiritual aspect of it came in, and he took the people right on into the Canaan land of God. Now then, the last enemy that will be conquered is death. The Bible says Jordan is the last crossing. And the last thing that we're going to do is cross Jordan, because we are going to conquer death. We're going to conquer death by faith. In fact, I've already got a message from heaven that I've been wanting to preach here concerning that very thing. How it can be done. Now, but the thing is, we are going to cross Jordan, and we're going to conquer death, and whereas we have in past time, as the children of Israel, run and run and run from the enemy, now we're going to rise up and attack the enemy, and we're going to take the kingdom. How many of you have withdrawn from the body? Just continue. Remember, a man's real enemy is his body. He withdraws from the outer man. There's continual warfare between the outer man and the inner man. Now, remember Brother Branham's messages? He always used the two types of people in the world, like the two nations that was in the womb of a man's wife back in the Old Testament, Isaac's wife back there, Rebecca's womb. He used types and shadows, and he preached about the Philistines, and then he preached about the Israelites. Bringing them down to present day, he would preach about the elect, the spiritual elect of God, which is a Christian, and then he preached about the denominational world, and he showed a battle between them. But now then, we've come from the natural right down to the physical. Now we're stepping from the physical right on down to the spiritual, and we don't look at it as a battle between me as a Christian and the denominational world. That is stopped out there. We're no longer warring with them, but it's brought down to that last spiritual aspect, where it's the war between this outer man and the inner man. There is a continual warfare between the body and the soul, just like it was between the Philistines and the Israelites in the Old Testament, when God gave us types and shadows to show what was actually happening. Now then, we've come down to that last step, or the last aspect, where the battle is between the body and between the spirit, and they meet within the human soul as a battleground, and there they stand and they battle. Are the kingdom of God from within man, God reaching out to redeem the body, and Satan pressing from without, trying to get into the kingdom of God or into the world of life, and he's warring against the kingdom of God to take the spirit of humanity over, that he might live in the temple of God and rule this world and have his way in the heart of man. Bringing it on down to the spiritual aspect of it, we realize one thing, and that is that we are at the end of the revelation. We are at the finishing up of the mystery of God, and this is the very thing that's going to cause us to overcome death. We're going to cross Jordan. We're right close right now, and we're going to cross Jordan. And I want to be ready and remember that those people did not set their feet in the river Jordan, Brother Bobby, until after the priest had set their feet in the water. And the priest did not set their feet in the water without the Ark of the Covenant. If a man sets his foot in Jordan without the Word of God, he's gone. That's all there is to it. But I tell you, if we'll take the Ark of the Covenant as the priest of God and lead the people as Joshua did, when we set our feet in the water by faith, that water will roll back, and those people will follow us step by step until they just step over the boundaries of flesh and the boundaries of the mind of carnality and step right into the mind of the eternal Spirit, Jesus Christ, and death will be swallowed up in the face of Christ when we say, "Death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory?" In other words, to say the least, that death does have a stinger just like a bee, and that stinger is sin. But if we perfect it forever, and if there's no more sin to us, if we can't sin, then when we come to recognize that through the mind of Jesus Christ, death will be powerless. We want to get into that one night, if the Lord will help us and prove that we do have the victory to overcome death and to step over Jordan. Now then, I don't want to miss the leading of the Spirit tonight. I always have a little drawback of trying to get into the revelation if I get started later, isn't it? But I could go on all night. But I'm so afraid that I get started and the people get weary, and though most of them will listen, yet every now and then one will turn up and watch, like I saw them do the other night. They've done it only two or three times, and then I see them do like this, you know, and what it is, some of them have, they've got out the anointing and then got tired and won't go home. But I tell you, folks, and I tell you from my heart, we need the Word of God. We need the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are not going by the grave. We can't just sit back and say, "Well, I'll die after a while and I'll be resurrected to meet Christ." If we could do that, we would be all right. But we can't do that. If we don't change these bodies, we can't die and go by the grave. We will wind up in the tribulation under the Antichrist. With this generation, it's absolutely a must. We've got to come to the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. So there's nothing else we can do. We've got to do it. All right. Now, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn and read just a little bit. And I promise you that I'll do everything I can to just follow the will of the Lord and to stop just as quick as I can. But let's read just a little bit and see if we can go on here and get a thought from the Lord. In the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. And let's read just a little. Notice what he said. I love sometimes to get into this about the beast, but there's so much in the Bible, you just have to, it takes a long time to ever get to it. Said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his hands as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and powers given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear, let him hear. All right. Notice right here in the 6th verse, it is. It says, this great beast that came up out of the waters, the Bible said the first thing that he'd done was to begin to make war with the saints of God. Now, I know a lot of people feel like the saints will never go through anything, and they feel like everything's going to be well with the saints. But Daniel said he shall wear the saints of God out. And then it says here in the book of Revelation, it says, and he made war against the saints of God. That means that when that beast came up out of the waters, there were still saints of God in this world. How could he have made war with the saints of God if there had not been any saints of God here when he came up out of the waters? That means that there is going to be a spiritual aspect and a natural aspect, and the spiritual you will encounter these things in the spiritual realms, but the natural you will encounter these things in the natural realm, that they'll literally see the beast come up. All right, now notice here what it says. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, how many of you see that last little bit there? Where it says, he not only warred against them, but the Bible said he overcome. Now, that does sound bad, don't it? To think that he'd make war against us and Almighty God would give him the power to overcome us and us doing all that we could. But did you know that that's playing right into the hands of God? If God gives Satan in the spiritual realm the power to overcome us and to kill out this outer man and to take everything natural away from us, that's the best thing that ever happened to us spiritually. Because when we're dead outside, then the inner Christ is released and we're able to master the devil. That's the best thing he could ever do. So then, it says that he made war with them that dwell in heaven. He made war with them that dwell in heaven. How many of you tonight believe that we are them that dwell in heaven? Let me see your hand. We are them. We are in heavenly places tonight. We are them that dwell in heaven. And he's speaking of them that dwell in heaven. And the Bible said he blasphemed the tabernacle of God. How many of you tonight believe that we are the tabernacle of God? John in his writing said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. We are the tabernacle of God. He saw the body of Jesus Christ being the tabernacle of God come down and walk among men. But when Jesus went away, he said, I have been the light of the world, but now you are the tabernacle of God. And collectively speaking, we are the tabernacle of God that John saw, and we are among men. Though men haven't recognized us, though they don't know that God's kingdom is within this tabernacle, and though they don't understand that at any time God is able to raise up from within this kingdom and wage war against the world and take the complete world over and let the angel declare that the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God. But he said here that the beast made war. We know that the beast is the Pope of Rome or the Church of Rome, and we know that it makes war against the Christians, which is the tabernacle of God, we that are dwelling in heaven. And it also points out here that he blasphemed the name of God, that he has come against the Jesus name teachings. He stood against Jesus' name, and he taught Trinity. As I heard Brother Leroy say today, went over to a place to expound the Word of God, and the man taught Trinity, and he said the man got a hold of him and told him that I don't want no one God teaching here. I don't want none of that Jesus name baptism stuff in here. And he showed him the door. Now then, the Bible said he blasphemed the name of God, which is Jesus. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. One night, if the Lord will help me, I'd love to be able to talk about the Antichrist and his power and how it's coming in. But tonight, if you are willing to listen just for a little while, let's go back, way back to the Old Testament, back again to the wilderness, back again to Egypt, and back again to Canaan, to take up the thought that we had just a little bit ago about the man Moses of our day. How that that pillar of fire led them by day, by night, and it was a pillar of glory by day. In the daytime, it was a spiritual blessing. It was an outpouring. Now, when you speak of the daytime, it means that when you're in spiritual revelation, or in worship, or in the mind of Christ, then God is leading you by a spiritual cloud of glory, for we are God's great cloud of witnesses. And God is leading us as long as we're in the daylight mind, children of day, he said. He's leading us by the spiritual blessing of his glory. But then when we get into the carnal mind, we're stepping out into the darkness. When we get out there in the world and among those people and in the conversation of the wicked, the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. So then we step out into the darkness. When we get out into the darkness, then we encounter serpents. We encounter hardship, and we encounter troubles, and people begin to rise up against us. That's darkness. But that's when the pillar of fire rises up. It's our friend, and it works against our enemy, and it leads us through the night by burning the chance out of our life. He does that with the pillar of fire. A fire gives life. So in the daytime, we don't need light because we've got light. The Word is our light. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. But when it begins to get dark, then we need a fire, because a fire will give light. And so then he leads us by the pillar of fire. But did you know that those people that followed the pillar of fire, that every time that Moses would get the word from God and the pillar of fire would move, they take their little physical tents, their little tabernacles, types and shadows of today, they take that little tent and they would move right along with it. But just as quick as that big tabernacle began to stop, and just as quick as that pillar of fire began to stop, they stopped. I believe with all of my heart that the trouble with the world today is that they will not follow the ministry. They don't follow the Word of God. The Bible says God is a consuming fire, and God is the Word made spirit, carried in revelation. They don't follow the revelation. And when the revelation stops, they still want to push on and get a revelation of their own. But what they need to do is follow the revelation. Whatever the revelation says, that's what they want to say. And the Bible said, every way you put your foot, I'll give it to you. We're pressing in towards the spiritual Canaan land of God, pressing in towards the revelation of Jesus Christ, coming from the fleshly mind of Egypt, right on over into the heavenly mind of Christ, the Canaan land, and we're crossing that wilderness of intellect and reasoning. We're having to cross over that to be able to obtain the faith of Jesus Christ that will bring us the translation. And so it is that if we would just move, just as the Spirit moves us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God and the sons of God, if we just move when the Spirit moves us, and if we stop when the Spirit stops, everything would be all right. We wouldn't have any trouble. Now then, notice Revelation said the tabernacle of God was among men. Brother Bobby said that the tabernacle which God himself dwelled in was among men. In the days of Moses, that tabernacle was pitched, and there in the wilderness we saw it, according to the scriptural outline, how that Moses made the outer court, and he made the inner court, and then he made the holies of holies. And here the other night, I brought it out in a trying manner, going back to the Jews and the water world, coming up to them, Gentiles and the blood world, and going on over into the spiritual aspect of it, going on over to the elect of God, are the Christian. And then here we find, as the tabernacle was pitched, and we apply these three things that I spoke of the other night, we not only can look at a wilderness and a tabernacle in the wilderness, but I brought it out the other night that the land of America in which we live, this land of America that has Washington, D.C., not very far from where we are right now, that this land of America and the land that's across the water also is a type and a shadow and an allegory in the physical world or the physical realm of the great tabernacle that was pitched yonder in the wilderness. Now then, with God, we see that the natural always belongs to the water world, or it always belongs to the Jews. But when we talk about the physical tabernacle, it always belongs to the Gentiles, or the Catholic Church, after which the Gentiles will wonder. But when we talk about the spiritual tabernacle of God, then we talk about the tabernacle that John saw among men, which is that body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that within my heart there is a kingdom within here. I know that just beyond that spiritual kingdom, that within my spirit there is a kingdom of God. But just beyond that, there is a bloodstream flowing where there is a soul. And just beyond that, there is another court that's called not the inner court of the bloodstream, but it's called the outer court, which is the human body. And the Bible says God will leave the outer court and let the Gentiles trample the outer courts down until the days of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I know that they call us holy rollers and they spit on us and they mock us just like they did the outer court of the temple of God when Jesus was in this world. They fastened it to the cross and they mocked it, and they've done it the very same way. But the thing is, we're coming to the hour when we're going to cross Jordan in death. It's going to be swallowed up in victory. For we're coming to the hour when God is going to redeem those outer courts. The hour has come when God will redeem them. For the days of the Gentiles is fulfilled. It's coming to a close. The great door of God is closing. And the revival to the world is over. And Jesus is turning back to the Jews. And Revelation tells us that the outer court was those Jews in spiritual revelation. That God has let the world kill the Jews out. Let them trample them down. The Germans have literally slaughtered them because they cried out and said, "Let his blood be on us." And the blood has run in the Jewish generation ever since the death of Jesus Christ. They could have escaped the death of Jesus Christ if they had not cried, "Let his blood be on us." And they did not put Jesus to death. The Roman powers did it. But they cried, said, "We'll be guilty of the blood." So then, their blood has been run. Here, we see that in the land of America, right here in the eastern part of the United States, right in Washington, we see the holies of holies as far as the physical aspect of it. We see the holies of holies, and we see the Antichrist that's just over across the waters wanting to come into this country. Now, then, let's say something that might seem a little bit deep here tonight, but let's see if we can get the thought over. Remember that Jerusalem in Christ and shattered is heaven. He says, "Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell." We know that the physical realm, that the presidents and the people of this world, they are wanting to make their nest among the stars, which is the moon. We know that the Pope, the one that he was speaking of, Satan incarnate in flesh, he's trying to make his nest among the Jews, and in allegories the Jews are represented by the stars to be the ruler of them. But in Satan, who is the spirit, in the spiritual aspect, he knows that we are the true stars of God, and he's trying to make his nest among us to take that he hopes to be able to do. Billy Graham, I believe, I know this is a strong statement, but I believe that Billy Graham is the false prophet of Revelation. I believe that he is. The Bible said, go unto the man that everybody speaks well of, and I don't even know of the Pentecostals that speak contrary to Billy Graham. I talked to him, and they certainly speak well of Billy Graham, but I say, as far as I know, thus far he is the false prophet of Revelation, and he rules this side of the world. The president doesn't rule this side of the world, but Billy Graham rules this side of the world through religion. You can check history, and everywhere there was ever a conquest, it wasn't done through a president, it wasn't done through some political leader, but it was done through somebody that was zealous with some religious conviction. Alexander the Great, I believe it was, that sought to plant all through this world the teachings of the belief of Helena in his religion. By that he received such great courage till he swept across all the country, and he conquered everywhere he went. But the thing is, Billy Graham has sought to make his nest among the stars. He's been in movies and he's stayed in Hollywood, and when you read about him, he's among the political aspects of the world, which means that those rich men, those political powers, also in the physical realm, they are known to be stars. And he gets up there among that heavenly world, and there he makes his nest among the stars, working contrary to what's right. He's taking the people that are simple-minded and drawing them right into the Catholic Church. His own mother made the statement not too long ago that I don't know what happened to my boy Billy, but I believe that Billy Graham, when the water was coming down, the just and the unjust, and I believe this with all of my heart, that when the water was coming down, the just and the unjust, in the days of grace, Billy anointed for his position. He was following with the Word, and when the Holy Spirit came down, he got anointed and people was converted under his ministry. But now that the days of grace is beginning to move away, he don't feel that anointing. He don't feel that surging, the ambition for God and the carnal mind within him, just like it did in the days of Saul. When the Holy Spirit lifted from him, he became that same Saul that loved the things of this world, and his nature was manifested. Anybody can see the nature of Billy Graham, that he loves the things of this world, that he's in the things of this world. He's made movies and done everything else. And I believe since this anointing is lifted, that Billy Graham is wanting power. He's wanting to get control of these people. And did you know, there's not the one man that I know of that's ever got a bigger reception than Billy Graham. That's his superior, the Pope. He got a bigger reception than the movie stars. Billy Graham gets a bigger one than the movie stars. That shows me that the Pope is first in line as the Antichrist. Christ, Satan incarnating the Pope. And then I see Billy Graham taking control of this side of the ocean and bringing these people right into the hands of the Pope. The Pope has ruled the other side of the ocean with an iron hand in years gone by. But he's never ruled America, because America was established after he was overthrown, after the Catholic religion was taken away, Brother Bobby. But the thing is, Billy Graham has control of this side of the ocean. He has control of it. Now all he's got to do is just get together and make a league with the Pope. Now then, you might say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm speaking spiritually. The Pope made a league with the Jews back in 1963. Well, I still got the clipping in my briefcase where the rabbis there's got him right around the neck and they're hugging each other. Now, the first time it ever happened in the history of the world. But he made a covenant with them, just like the book of Daniel said he would do. And remember that these Protestant people parallel with the natural Jews. That whatever happens to them also happens to the Protestant people. And so it is that the Pope is going to make an agreement with Billy Graham. Billy Graham made a statement not too long ago in his boastful sort of way that he was the one that was able to preach in the Catholic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, when no other Protestant could get in the Catholic Church. He said, I did. And I preached that. I got a report on him while I was in Florida that already he's got one of the leading positions among the National Council of Churches. Now then, Dr. Bob Jones, a man that Billy Graham was trained under here in his college. And I believe Bob Jones was a fine man from what I know about him. But the thing is, his son, Bob Jones Jr., I believe it is, he made the statement recently. He said Billy Graham, though he was trained in our college, so to speak, he said he's doing more to hurt the religious world than any man on the face of the earth.
Amen.
So Brother Jimmy. They drawn innocent people in and said he's not sending them to churches that respectable and churches that love God, but said he's telling them to people that he himself knew was against the real true religion of Jesus Christ, and Billy Graham was turning them to him. Now then, I believe with all of my heart that we're right at the end time. And I believe that we, as we look at this lesson tonight concerning the tabernacle, have you noticed that the Pope, I made the statement not too long ago when God was revealing some things, I said that Antichrist will go over to America just about the year 66, and he did come and stood in Washington, and even though we came over on the Mayflower, landed nearby here at Plymouth Rock, coming over from the old country to exchange the Catholic religion and to teach the Word of God, even though we've done it, yet when that Pope came over here, the dignitaries of Washington went out and stood by him and greeted him and called the children at school to be turned out to go out there and be with him. And he held a mass over in Yankee Stadium and thousands of people turned out for it. But he didn't say, let me speak to the United States. He didn't come over here to speak to the United States. He knew after he placed Kennedy in office, he already had the United States. He said, I come over here to speak to the UN. I want to speak to the United Nations. He don't want to rule the United States. He wants to rule the entire world. That's what he does. He said, I want to speak to the UN. And then our president went up there and knelt down in his seat, so to speak. I've got a paper at home that shows the pictures and everything. Well, he went over there, and he went right there to the Pope, and he said, we are looking to you for peace. And the Bible said, there's no peace to the wicked. He said, we're looking to you for peace. Now then, his own daughter joined the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, then I got a picture at home where Billy Graham is standing right up there with the president, standing up there, leading, praying, all there together. What is it? Every last one of them is trying to get into the Holies of Holies, which is represented by Washington. The White House is called the White House because it's the type of the body of Jesus Christ. And the ruling authority in it, which is the head of the type of God, the Spirit, that reaches out through the governmental offices in types and shadows of the church to control the entire world. Step by step coming down in each office to show just how it is. But the thing is, every last one of them wants to go back. All right, look at this man. This is the beautiful part of God. Look at this picture hanging here. Christ knew where the Holies of Holies was in the physical realm. So he sent this man before this mess ever got started. And they took a picture of him, and they say that picture hangs right there in the White House right now in the Hall of Fame. God, he wasn't trying to get William Branham in there, but they say that's the only picture ever taken of a supernatural being. The pillar of fire, which is Jesus Christ, had to get into the Holies of Holies first before Satan could ever get in, that he might stand within our hearts down in here and drive the evil powers of darkness out as Satan comes into these physical temples to try to overthrow the kingdom of God or to set up his kingdom within us. And so it is. Here he, after this, the pillar fire got into Washington. Then what happened? Billy Graham is turned. He's trying to get in up there. Then the Pope, he comes over. He's trying to get in up there. And then Martin Luther King, which is a type of Satan coming up out of the bottomless pit, called Luther because it's another reformation, but it's one that's backwards, coming up out of the bottomless pit, burning those dark people. And I know tonight that when I speak of a Negro, I'm not speaking against the Negro. The Bible said in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, and when a Negro's born again, he's the body of Christ just as much as I am. And the blood of Jesus Christ is in his veins, and I can shake hands with him and love him. If my Savior can live in his heart, then that makes us the same. All of one bloodstream. But just to show you the type and shadows, just like some of the white people out here are the brute beasts of this world, some of those Negroes and Negroes in there are setting represent the demon spirits of this world. That bottomless pit opened up, that revelation spoke about that. Over there, where he said, and the great angel come down and he opened the pit, and those evil powers begin to come up and infiltrate the earth. Coming up out of the bottomless pit, because this is the hour of it, there had to be an allegory to show it. And here we see that Martin Luther King comes up out of the bottomless pit, and with him out of the irons, out of the places where the serpents lay, out of the places where the lions of the beast, the brute beasts roar, out of the hot regions of the damned and types and shadows, come all of those Negroes. hills around the world behind this great Martin Luther King. And where did he go? Right to the Holy of Holies. Satan wants to get right in the White House. That's where he wants to get. What does it mean? I got some pictures at home and got the statement. It shows Martin Luther King walking along. The Negroes bowed down to him to show you that he's after power and not just trying to lead his people to victory. He don't care how many gets killed. He wants to be king of this world. And it shows him coming along. They knelt down at his feet. And you know what they say? They said, "Hail to the Lord of us," or to Martin Luther, the King of Kings. Martin Luther, the King of Kings. Who is the King of Kings? There's only one King of Kings, and that's Jesus Christ. They said, "Hail to Martin Luther, the King of Kings." So then he's Antichrist, and he's sitting by the body. And here he is, shown in our types and shadows of the blessing on the tabernacle tonight, coming to the United States, just like the Pope did. Now let's get this thought again. Remember, Jerusalem represents heaven right in the state of types and shadows. And this world that we're living in, this United States right here, our own surroundings, represents the earth, while right over yonder between the earth and between heaven, the Bible says Satan sets his kingdom up. Remember, in the physical realm between the body, which is the outer court, and between the kingdom of God of the Spirit, which is the holies of holies, he gets into the inner court, between the outer court and between the holies of holies, and he gets in to the inner court, and he set his kingdom up in the bloodstream or in the soul. And it's the same way Rome is set right over yonder between Jerusalem and between America. And just before Jesus Christ comes back into this world to come to the natural Jew in his coming to set his kingdom up in Jerusalem, what happens? That Antichrist drops down out of heaven. That's considered heaven across the waters in types and shadows. Here, he drops down from out of heaven and drops right in here to our land, comes right over here to try to get control of us. Why? So they can reach out and get the rest of the world as well. In other words, it shows that we are right here in the end time. Let me say this. I spoke the other night of the gospel rising up in the east like the sun, circling the earth and going back down the west, that it might arise again over there in the east, coming to us, that it might arise, spiritually speaking, as the Christ child in this world right here, coming in our heart. Now, speaking spiritually, but remember, in the state of perversion that this world is in, the last is first, and the first is last. Did you know that William Branham comes out, now listen real close, William Branham comes out as Antichrist in the state of perversion when you run Revelation out? Did you know that that's why primitive people are always calling us Antichrist? Because in the perverted state we come out as opposing everything that's sound, everything that's doctrinal, everything that's right according to the natural church that God's ordained to rule the world. We're actually Antichrist to them people because we oppose everything. But Jesus says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. If you'll switch it around, Billy Graham won't come out on the top end of it. He'll come out on the bottom side of it where the Antichrist is. And Billy Graham will come out on the top of it over there as a type of Christ Jesus our Lord leading his people to victory, as a type of Moses. Now that if we're in perversion, then that shows exactly why that the ruling authority left Jerusalem, come over here to the western part of the world. Now, just like when the pilgrims come and landed here, coming over from that country after Jerusalem was destroyed, God put the ruling authority here in America and ruled the world. Why did he do that? To show the state of perversion that the spirit was no longer in control, but the flesh was in control. Now then, look at it in the woman. The ruling authority and the power left the man and it went to the woman, didn't it? Just like it left the male, which was the Jew, and come over here to the people of this world, in America here, the spiritual bride. It left the male and come to the church here in the Protestant church. The Jews once ruled the world as religion, but it come to the Protestant world, and they ruled the world in religion, showing the church of the woman in control. That means the authority left the man and went to the woman. But remember, just like it left here in the eastern part of the world in Washington and went to the west. Why did it go there? Because all the movie stars went out there. Why did they go there? Because the gold rush was to the west. You'll find revelation in the west when you can't find it in the east. That's right. You'll find it over there in the west when you can't find it east. Why? Because it types out Eve while the east types out Adam. That's right. I wish we just had time to go along here and show you all four of them, the beast and every one of them, in the types and shadows. But at any rate, all here in the west types out Eve, and here in the east types out Adam. But the ruling authority is going to move from the west, and it's going to come back to the east, just like it's going to move from this western world, go back to Jerusalem. It's going to move from the woman, go back to the man, and watch and see if it don't do it. That's why the woman has cut her hair off, showing the glory's gone from the church, and she's dishonoring her head. She's no longer under his control. But it's going to change around, and it's going to go back. Now then, just notice this one thing. Our prophet to prove that, our prophet has already prophesied that Los Angeles or Hollywood would go down beneath the ocean. Brother, when that catastrophe takes place, it's going to cause some people to start moving. You know where sin really comes from? New York City. How many of you know that from the shows of Broadway are born those harlot movie stars that go out there? Right on the streets of Broadway. Why? Because the Bible said broad is the way that leads to destruction. In types and shadows, it has to come from the great Broadway and go out there. Why is it that the Pope has to go to New York City? They said that there's more Catholics in New York City than there is Roman, more Jews there than there is over yonder in Jerusalem. Why is the Empire State Building built up in New York City? They show that one building that houses types and shadows of the human being, that there's going to be a supreme power that will go there and rule the world, which is the Antichrist. But what will bring the ruling power from the west back to the east? There's nobody that draws a bigger crowd than the movie stars and the Pope. You let the Pope keep coming to New York and see if all the movie stars don't move up to the place where he's at. You let him keep coming to New York and see if all the world don't turn towards New York City. Why? Because right along in there is where the holies of holies is. Right in there is where the United Nations building is. Right in there is where Washington is. And he knows what he's trying to do. He's trying to rule the world. But get this thought tonight. We're not going to try to go too far here. Look like we're going loose too far along, but I don't want to get in too much and be confusing. But anyway, notice this one thing, that the ruling authority is changing places. And that they will come back to Washington or to New York. The ruling power will, and it will control the world again. It will do it. In other words, we're right in the closing age, or right in the closing hours, and the Antichrist is going to set his kingdom up right over here. Now get this last thought. I'm going to try to close it, the Lord's will. Right over here in the United States, he's going to set his kingdom up. It's going to be the holiest of holies in Washington. It's separated from all the United States. They ain't considered a state. Then the United States around, it's going to be the inner court. That's where he's going to work right in there. In the inner court, right around Washington. Trying to get into Washington to take control from the holiest of holies. And then the outer court, back over across the water, he's going to reach over there and try to bring them in through the United Nations to control the world. Now watch and see if you don't do it. But the Bible says, tidings out of the east shall trouble him. He might set his kingdom up over here in New York City, but the Jews, in that last 3.5 years, they're going to break that covenant, and they won't come into the United Nations just like the true elect spiritual Jew won't join the National Council of Churches that I brought out the other night. And right over there, those Jews are going to keep singing and praising God and saying, one day our Messiah is coming, one day our Messiah is coming. And that Antichrist is going to keep saying, but I am Christ and I rule the world. But they're going to keep saying, there is a Christ child that's going to be born. And just like in the days of Herod, it troubled him, like it now did down in Egypt when it troubled Pharaoh, it's going to trouble that Antichrist. And the Bible said that Antichrist is going to take all the United Nations and gather in there against that one little place called Jerusalem. And in that hour, Jesus Christ is going to return. He said, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation there is nigh. When they go in there to force them, then the Antichrist goes in around Jerusalem with his armies. Jesus is going to stand up, and the blood is going to run up the horse's bridle. As I said the other night, that one little nation is going to defeat the whole world. That's how close we are to the end of time right now. Now, there's a lot we could say tonight. I'd love to be able to stand here and bring out in the outer court and the inner court and the holies of the holies how did the washing and the sacrifice and everything points out where the blood was spilled of the martyrs in the outer courts across the waters and what happened right here in the United States. as the part of the intercourse, and then right on into the Holy of Holies, it shows the sacrifice and everything, step by step in the wilderness, just how it took place. We're right on the verge of the coming of Jesus Christ. As I said last night, the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in our midst, and it's time for us to begin to get straightened out with the Lord. Will you stand with me? Now, I appreciate you being kind and considerate tonight, and I know that you're tired because it's been a long time. Maybe in the service tonight. I don't know how late it is, but it's been a long time, perhaps, in the service tonight. But I want you to clearly understand the things I'm saying. All these things that we've said this week is on tape, every one of them. There is no reason why anybody should confuse these things. If somebody says that I said something, take them back to the tapes and let them check it and see. Because every bit of it is on tape. And I'm not afraid to repeat the things that I said. That's why I want them on tape. I'm not afraid to repeat them. Now, remember that we are in the hour of the redeeming of the outer courts, and God is seeking to turn back to the Jew. Now, you say, why should that interest us, Brother Pye? It should interest us because though Jordan is swelling, yet we have come to the crossing. This body being the outer courts, it's been trampled down long enough. We've waited for the redemption of our body to be drawn into the kingdom within us. But now it's going to be changed in the image of Jesus Christ. In that hour, Brother Jim, death is going to be swallowed up. We're at the crossing of Jordan. We're there at the crossing of Jordan. There's many, 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 many revelations tonight that I had to tie in with this, but you can't tie them all in one night. That's not even wise. So then, I say this, that death will be swallowed up in victory, though the prophet is gone, though Moses has gone off the scene, yet the Holy Spirit, as Joshua has come in, to make this word that he left with us, spirit, that it might translate our bodies and take us over Jordan. Bow your head with me just a minute, will you? Father, tonight we're thankful, God, for this service. Lord, for the much praise that went on in the beginning of the service. And Father, tonight we say, as did Solomon of old, who can lead this thy so great a people? True, there's not a man in the earth that's capable. And only the Holy Spirit that led him in the life of Samuel, Father, that led him in the life of David, then led him in the life of Moses, led him in the life of Peter and of the great prophet of our hour. Father, truly, as a minister tonight, God, trying, I pray to God that you would lead them, Lord, in this hour through my feeble efforts. Lord, in the part that I might have, God, in trying to help perfect the church, I ask you to bless them, Lord, and help them, deliver them from sickness, and watch over them. Help us to move when the pillar of fire moves, and help us to rest and stop when it stops. I ask you to do it, Lord, till we go into the Canaan land. Granted in Jesus' name, for your glory, we ask you.